Yes, it's time again for Fitter Happier, and in Fitter Happier this week, we're taking a look at work opportunities in the allied health and science fields. These fields comprise the second largest health workforce and include integral members of multidisciplinary teams required in healthcare. Our guests today include Diane Bianchi, the Chief Health Professions Officer in the Department of Health, and Mitchell Wally, who's studying speech pathology. They join us now to discuss their experience and knowledge in the allied health and health science professions. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Morning.
How are we doing?
Very well. Thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Now, Diane, firstly, I want to ask you, in discussing opportunities in allied health and health science professions, what are some of the areas that we're talking about here?
Okay, so generally we talk about three pillars of health workforce, okay. Medical, allied health and nursing. And so the allied health and health science professions that I provide advice on, there are 25 of those professions. So it's easy to think of them in terms of not being medicine or dental,
sure,
or nursing and midwifery, but they include all of the allied health sort of therapies that people immediately think of: speech pathology, physio, OT, social work, psychology, etc. And then there are some lesser known health science professions like clinical perfusionists, etc. So 25 all in all in WA Health, but that's they are not the same in every state or around the world, really.
Okay.
Everyone has a different list of professions.
So there are different lists and, I guess, different definitions of what come under those
That's
four definitions, yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
But generally, you know, they're involved in diagnosis, therapy, science, and rehabilitation.
Yeah. Now, these areas obviously require qualifications from recognised institutions such as universities and TAFE. What are the significance of these qualifications, both in terms of industry regulation, but also in developing practices in allied health and health science industries moving forward?
Okay, so that's a really interesting question. I think, you know, the qualifications provide the basic skills for someone to be working in these professions. And we do it in interesting ways now in the universities by getting all of the professions together. So one of our universities, Curtin University, has a first year which covers medicine, nursing and all of the allied health and health science,
okay,
professions, so that they not only learn about each other's role and expertise, but they learn how to work together. So that's critically important.
I was going to say, that must be really beneficial once they actually get out in the workplace.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. All our work, I think, really works in multidisciplinary,
yeah,
teams, and we need to be able to work very respectfully and collaboratively in that space.
Now, of course, there are obviously advances being made in these professions all the time, both in terms of technologies and, I guess, cures for various diseases, things like that. So ongoing training is obviously something that's
ongoing
must be kept
training,
with, yeah?
That's correct. Yeah. So some of the professions are regulated at a national level. All of the professions have self-regulation if they're not regulated at the national level. All of them are involved in research, and again, we try and do that in an interprofessional manner because that's how we deliver good healthcare when we're all working together.
Now, what sort of impact do professionals from allied health and health sciences have on our community, do you think?
You know, I think they have a huge,
yeah,
impact on the community. And I think it's important to recognise that they work both in hospitals where we immediately think of them, but also across the community sector and in primary care.
Yeah.
So they're working at that preventive level, they're looking at health promotion, but also intervening at some of the very acute end of the spectrum. And I think increasingly have a very important role in chronic disease management,
mm,
which has become a real issue for our society.
Absolutely. Now, what are some of the universal qualities that all professionals in allied health and health sciences do share?
You know, I think that they're probably shared with our medical and nursing colleagues, but some of the really important things that we look at now are very good communication skills, an ability to work compassionately both with patients and with other disciplines, and to really engage in the teamwork, because we know that if we've got well-engaged staff who are compassionate, then the outcomes for our patients and clients are much better, and that's well researched.
You're listening to the Mag on RTRFM 92.1 with me, Chris Mason, and I'm joined by Chief Health Professions Officer in the Department of Health, Diane Bianchi, and Speech Pathology student, Mitch Wally, for Fitty Happier. This week we're discussing work opportunities in the allied health and science field. Now, Mitch, what drew you to a speech pathology as a career?
Well, you know, when you get to high school and, you know, you're trying to think of a career after finishing year 12, I sort of got to that year and I was like, I don't actually know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
As a profession, I just had no idea. Like, there was heaps of kids there who knew what they wanted to do, but me personally, I just was like, I just have no idea. It wasn't until Mum came to me and said, well, why don't you do something like speech pathology, because you sort of had that experience when you were younger. And I didn't know this because I completely forgot, because I was a kid at the time, but she told me that it really helped me with my learning and my development when I was younger to actually complete school. So I thought, you know what, that's actually a really good idea. I really thought, you know, it'd be a great way to help kids, especially in, you know, remote areas or anything outside the ordinary that people don't really, like, get that help. I thought someone who, where communication's really important, is something that I really would want to help with.
Yeah.
Like, someone who can have an impact on people's lives in a big way, even from someone from really young to someone who's really, like, an adult as well.
Yeah.
Anyone, like, that's just, yeah.
Can you tell us about your experience as a kid?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I sort of struggled in school. I wasn't really being able to, you know, learn as all the other kids were doing, you know, sitting down at a desk. I really just struggled to pay attention. I think that was my big key. Like, I just couldn't sit still and just listen to the teacher.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I got told at a young age, and my mum will always tell me this, and it's good to know that the teachers thought that I wouldn't be able to complete high school and I wouldn't go to university. I was told that, the teacher told that to my parents, and mum wouldn't believe it. She was kind of like, no, I know my kid, because I was really good at sort of remembering things as a child, you know, watching TV and movies. That was the thing that I remembered, and I could say it word for word. So my memory was good and I was able to learn things in that way. So she sort of called up a speech pathologist and said, look, he needs some help with his learning and some of his reading as well, because I couldn't read at a very young age either.
Okay.
It took me a while to get to that stage. So she was like, look, we need some help here. So speech pathologist gave her some ideas, and then pretty much from that point on, Mum was pretty much my teacher outside of school.
Oh,
I'd go to school and then I'd get home and do some more learning. Some different, it's just different activities, different areas where, you know, instead of me sitting at a desk and trying to focus on that, it was actually me trying to learn and get up and do other things.
Okay.
And also, you know, get rewards for it, you know, like as a kid, you'd like to get rewards. So.
Of course,
So I was able, you know, get some chocolates here and there.
Yeah.
But that actually really helped me. And then, you know, from that stage on, she got me to try and more and more get me to sit still and focus a bit longer. And I was able to increase my reading skills, and from that point on, this is where I am today. So
fantastic. Yeah, clearly reaping the benefits of that, obviously.
Mm.
How intensive is the study of speech pathology?
The first 2 years is not so bad. It's quite broad. You know, you get an understanding of, you know, health and the body and stuff like that. And, you know, you sort of get introduced to everything, so it sort of slows you down. I mean, I'm in my third year at the moment. I think that this year especially is going to be the hardest year.
Okay.
Because we're starting to do practical work, so we're going out and actually, you know, applying what we've learnt in the previous two years. But we're also still learning, so we've got a lot of content to do, but it's really good to get out there and actually experience what it's like to actually be a speech pathologist.
Yeah.
And it's just really good fun, to be honest. And it's a really small group at ECU, and so everyone gets along with each other.
Yeah.
And so we have so many stories to tell, and it's just that learning for this year, even though it's a bit tougher than the previous years, it's actually really good for our learning and our development to become a qualified speech.
I did want to ask you about the practical experience, actually. What sort of a practical experience are you gaining from this degree, and how important is it?
Oh, it's really important. Right now I'm working, like, for my practical, I work once a week. I'm at a school with two other people that I went to uni with, and we get to deal with kindy and pre-primary kids. Most of these kids at this school, English is a second language, so when we had to deal with these kids individually, they're not really understanding what we're trying to ask them to do. So I think that was a really good challenge for me personally to try and get these kids to do these tasks, even though they had no idea what I was actually saying.
Sure.
And I got a wide variety of people that I was dealing with, these kids. They were gorgeous kids. Some of them, you know, were English as a second language, but they were really switched on and understood what I was doing. And then there was other kids who just didn't want to do anything because they're dealing with a stranger.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Like, we deal with a whole range of kids, and it's just a really good, fun experience to work with these kids, but also work with the two speech students that I've haven't really got to be with the last 2 years, and feed off them and sort of the stories and all the things that we experience. We
so
do it together.
You're building that sort of camaraderie there as well.
Yeah, like that's the thing about doing speech pathology as a profession is you're really close, because it's a small group of people, you really are close with everyone.
Yeah.
You sort of get along and you experience things, so many different things that it's so interesting to hear that you're thinking, even though I'm not doing that now, I could potentially be doing that in the future. And it's really good just to hear that sort of thing and just feed off everyone and sort of collaborate with everyone, even though it's just speeches. So imagine what it's like when we deal with other professions like physio or nursing or OT, something like that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to see firsthand.
Fantastic. Now, where do you ultimately hope that your study and career will lead you?
Oh, there's so many opportunities out there, but I'm hoping, you know, at the moment I'm really enjoying working with children, and you know, I would love to work with Aboriginal kids in the remote areas. I would love to just go out there and experience that, but I'm happy at the moment to do whatever. I'm really flexible. I haven't worked with adults yet, and that will happen probably next semester and next year.
Okay.
So maybe after that I might change my mind and might be a bit more flexible and be anywhere, but right now, it's there's so many opportunities you can do. Work with kids, work with adults, work in remote areas, in the metro area.
Yeah.
Anywhere is really, it's a really good experience,
Awesome. Now, Diane, if people are interested in a career in allied health and science, where can they find out more?
They can find out more from the website, from the WA Health website, and look at Allied Health. So that would be fine. All the universities have all of their courses up, and so they, again, can go and look there. The other thing I'd mention also is that there are some assistant roles through the TAFEs, and they're a really important role within health, and sometimes they can be the first step in terms of qualification, so they can start with a TAFE course, do some work, and then go on to university and become involved with the profession.
Fantastic. Diane and Mitch, thank you so much for joining us on the Mag this morning for Fit Happier.
Thanks for having us.
That was Chief Health Professions Officer in the Department of Health, Diane Bianchi there, and speech pathology student Mitchell Wally speaking about opportunities in the allied health and science fields. You're tuned to the Mag on RTRFM 92.1.